The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I have the Pick the Flick podcast. He doesn't even know the name of his own show because he's actually got himself down as the Western Wonder. He rebranded his show, but you know what? This guy wants me to pit. He's going to shoot me a pitch for something in a few minutes. So let's go on here. Let's get started and we'll get into that.
That's still my nickname. hi, John. It's good to be on here, man. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing really good, man. It's good to be on here to talk about some CinemaCon highlights and stuff like that. And, you know, it's been a busy couple of days. We've been keeping up with a little bit of the news on here. And, man, I just want to say welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back on. It's a pleasure being.
You're very welcome. So coming out of the gate, we're going to talk about, to be honest with you, the most lack of movies to go around for the MGM, Amazon Studios. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have some stuff that you want to pitch to me, because, you know, I am the studio executive.
Yeah, I have a person that looks exactly like me that wants to pitch it to you, so if you could just take one second.
Okay, so you're going to get your okay. Not a problem.
Yes, just one second.
Make it quick.
Yeah, he's really shy.
I'm already not impressed. Okay. So while he's getting his executive friend, I just want to point out that I was very, very, very disappointed in the MGM selection. They have The Rock in a Christmas movie or something like that. I don't know exactly what that is, but it just doesn't sound that. Here he is.
Wait. Hi, Sharks. I'm the Western Wonders friend, Jeff. I'm here to present to you today in Amazon MGM from CinemaCon. You know, Amazon's still an up-and-coming company, as you can see.
Yeah, it is
a
company.
An up-and-coming brand. You know, they didn't even have their own cinema slot this year, you know. I'm a little bit nervous because, you know, this is a last-minute kind of ordeal. I was going to present for a mouse company. They call themselves Disney.
Yeah, I know Disney. I know a couple of people within that branch. They actually have some interesting films, but you know what? I actually have to say about Amazon, they kind of, you know, I'm just going to go ahead. What do you have for me that is worth my time and my efforts?
Well, yes, John, we have three selections from the Amazon MGM slot this year. The first title that I want to present to you right now was actually a Christmas action movie called Red One. It stars Dwayne "The Boulder" Johnson and Chris Evans, formerly known as Captain America. It actually comes out in theaters from November the 15th.
Okay, first off, what's the plot?
Well, I'm glad you asked, John. You know,
that way I can actually say yes or no. Because seriously, all I get is The Rock in a red and green sweater, and also Captain America in his PJs. So what am I getting here?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, you see, the plots for Red One in particular are currently being kept under wraps. But if you were to ask me, Jeff, not the Western Wonder, that's Jeff, I would probably say it would revolve around the two leads having to do something with, I don't know, saving Christmas. You know, that's just been a plot that's been done with movies for decades. But you know, when we have two new stars, perhaps we can do something different if you catch my drift.
Yeah, I catch your snowy drift. I get it. I understand where you're going with this. But here's the thing. Well, yeah. And I just have to say this, man. Okay. So we actually have Warner Brothers here. We have, Sony took a back slap. I'm sorry. That's why we actually had to put MGM in here. Let me just tell you this. Okay. So why would they want to have The Rock in a Christmas movie whenever The Rock can easily be covered with snow? I mean,
well, you see, the boulder, he likes to take breaks from working in the jungle. And of course, you know, WrestleMania with the WWE, he wants to, you know, mix up his resume. So doing a Christmas movie probably really helps with his image of being, you know, diverse with the projects that he chooses. So I think it seems rather obvious goal is a Christmas movie before a series.
I would be more sold on Kevin Hart being with him in a Christmas movie.
Well, they've done about 15 movies together. Kevin Hart, you know, the little guy, he needs a break. You know what I mean? You know, he's 5'4" talent. He can only be in so many films.
But here's the thing, though, okay? I like where you're going, Jeff. I really do. I like what you're doing here. Here's the thing, okay? The Rock is just playing The Rock. The Rock is not playing a different character. He's the same character in every movie. He's still going to say it doesn't matter. You're going to have Chris Evans, who's going to throw in probably a Marvel reference because Marvel reference for some sort. I don't see this movie being something that I would want to go out and check out myself. Then again, it's a Christmas movie. It's on streaming services. It's basically a basic Christmas film, just having The Rock in there playing The Rock, and Chris Evans in there. He's gonna be the only one that's actually gonna be signed up for the project of playing another character, while The Rock is just playing The Rock. He hasn't played a different character since Faster or Snitch.
Well, I mean, you know, they've got some other great names attached to the cast. You
Going ahead.
Also starring in the movie, we have Lucy Liu, Kiernan Shipka, Nick Kroll, and J.K. Simmons. I don't know the characters that they're playing because, once again, plot is being kept under the tail, but they should make this a good ensemble picture. That's what Amazon and MGM needs for now. Big ensemble features. And I think Red One might actually do, you know, the trick.
Okay, if it was a big ensemble piece, why are they putting it on streaming?
It's going to theaters first, and then it'll be on.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. So it can draw in the crowd and everything and have the Dwayne The Rock Johnson sweat his oily body on Chris Evans. And so people, yeah. I have to say, you ended up almost selling me on J.K. Simmons because I loved him with Whiplash. I liked him in...
J.K. Simmons, Invincible.
Right. Also, too, I also liked him in The Accountant. I liked him in... every single time I see J.K. Simmons, he always brings his A game to something. And Lucy Liu, I haven't seen her in a movie in a long time either. But
exactly.
But I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to pass.
Oh man, well that's fine. We have two more projects to mention here. Okay. The second one that I want to talk about is a new upcoming drama thriller movie that's directed by Luca Guadagnino, who's the director behind Call Me by Your Name, which starred Timothy Chalamet and Armie Hammer, and the upcoming sports movie Challenger, starring Zendaya, West Side Story's Mike Faced, and The Crown's Josh O'Connor. Now, After the Hunt stars Julia Roberts, and it revolved around this college professor who finds herself at a personal and professional impasse when her star pupil levels an accusation against one of her colleagues, and a dark secret from her own past threatens to come to light. Now, what do you think about that?
I'm sorry. I was too busy at getting on with my life. Can you please repeat the plot to me one more time?
One more time. So After This One revolves around a college professor that's played by Julia Roberts, pretty woman, who finds herself at a personal and professional impact when one of her star pupils leveled an accusation against one of her colleagues, and a dark secret from her own past threatens to come to life. Whatever that secret is, we don't know. But look.
Okay, I'm actually sold on this project a little bit. You got Julia Roberts in there. She's a college professor. It's intriguing. You have a little bit of a mystery element in it. Okay, I like this pitch. I like this pitch a lot better. So if I could actually trade out Dwayne The Rock Johnson for this film, this would be the film that I would go and check out. Versus,
great.
Yeah.
That's what we want to hear.
Yeah. So, you know what? You got my stamp of approval for that one.
Okay. Well, I'm saving the best for last of the Amazon NGL.
Well, sure you are.
The third project that I would like to present to you today, Mr. Judd, is a movie called Project Hail Mary. It's a spaceman sci-fi movie. Possibly, in the heels of a Matt Damon sci-fi movie. Can't think of the name right now because my mind's a little quick. But this movie is directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and it stars Ryan Gosling. Now, if you want the plot for this one, the film tells the story of an Earth slowly inching towards doomsday, and this science teacher that goes by the name of Rylan Grace, played by Rylan Gosling, because the name's similar, is tapped to help solve this issue and embarks on a space-bound expedition to save the human race. Your thoughts, Mr. John?
Okay, tell me again. I just want to hear you roll off the tongue on this.
Sure.
Because I have Matt Damon coming up pretty soon. I have Ben Affleck here and stuff like that. And they want to also chime in on some stuff too, on stuff that they're pitching. So I don't want to keep them waiting. So go ahead.
Sure. Okay. One more time. Project Hail Mary.
I got the Boston voice here.
All right. So the plot and the premise is based on a written novel of the same name. The film tells the story of an Earth slowly inching towards doom. Science teacher Rylan Grace, played by Ryan Gosling. See what they did with the name there because it sounds good.
Yeah.
It's tapped to help solve this issue. Marks on a space-bound expedition to save the human race.
Well, what person do you not want? If you could count on anybody, right? It has to be the good-looking dude of Ryan Gosling, right? Look at those eyes. Look at those cheekbones. Just look at him. He's just glossy.
Exactly. He's just Ken. He's Ken.
Right. So I like the idea and concept, but I need to see more. I need to see it in full context. It's one thing to have it on paper. It's another thing to have it land on the screen and being perceived the way that it needs to be perceived. But I'm going to put a hyphen on possibly maybe.
What? So you said you're going to want to wait to see more, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, yes. I need to see more.
Well, I got two questions for you.
Okay.
Are you in any crippling debt?
Unfortunately, I am. But like I said, I have Ben Affleck here, and I also have Matt Damon here. That's going to actually help me out with my debt.
Okay, well, the second question is, are you entitled to any relief check that involves mesothelioma or any kind of health-related issue?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, you're going to have to wait to see Project Hail Mary in 2026 when it comes out.
Okay, so I have plenty of time to let this marinate before I say yes. Okay, I get what you're saying.
That's right. That's all the time that I have. Western Wonders calling back. This is Jeff here. I'm going to let him help. I've come to the
panel. Okay. Bye, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I can't wait for you not to come back again.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeff has some good ideas, I have to say. Oh, hey, baby. How are you?
Such.
Yeah. So what do we have next? After I ended up having to excuse Jeff and everything, so that way we can go back to doing our segment, because I had to make up an excuse to say that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were here. But, you know, all I got is Ben Foster.
Yeah, he says something about you being in crippling debt or something. What's up with that?
I don't know. I'm not crippling. I'm not in debt. Maybe a little, but not crippling. But anyways.
Yes. All right, next up on our plate, we have Warner Brothers. I have my three selection. Do you have your three? Well, you said you struggled with that.
Okay, so tell me again. Give me that. I'm not doing the bit. I'm just, I really do need.
Oh, yeah, Warner Brothers.
Okay, WB. Okay, yeah, I have a couple. I got a couple here, man. So I'm going to talk about this. I'm excited for Joker, Folie de Lune. You have Joaquin Phoenix, who won his Academy Award for Joker. It's a mental health movie. You have Lady Gaga in this movie, who was really good with Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born. But I like the mental health aspect. I like the fact you and I did the reaction for that. And what I liked about it was they didn't change the tone. They know exactly what it is. They know their audience. They know that this is going to make people gravitate towards the theater again to see this. The only thing is, I don't think this is actually going to be an Academy Award winning movie for Joaquin Phoenix, since he already won it for the first time.
That's right.
So, because it's going to be, the trailer is fantastic. It's beautifully well shot. It kind of has like a La La Land kind of feel mixed with a little bit of Dick Tracy.
That thing happened again.
Yeah. But still, I'm sold on it. I'm excited for it. I'm definitely excited for Joker. Or Joker 2. What about for you?
Same with me. The trailer is really getting me hyped. I really want to see what goes on in this movie. Who's point of view was the story being told from, whether it's from Joker's or from the Clans, or maybe it's from both of them. We can go back and forth. Who knows? But to see it get a musical twist within the sequel makes it for an interesting project. Hope it doesn't tamper with what we got with the first one, but who knows?
Right.
I'm excited for it, because the trailer, once again, looks phenomenal. Cinematography looks stellar, and it's got two good leads in it, so it should be good.
Exactly. So, what else do you have for your Warner Brothers pick?
Let's see. Next in my list is, let's see. And it said I had a little bit of a mix up with this one. Because Shyamalan's name is attracted to one of these titles, Trap.
Okay. I'm actually excited for that one. I used to call him the Shamhammer, but yeah. But yeah, I'm definitely excited about M. Night coming in to do a new horror movie. I like his style. I think he actually is making a comeback for himself, especially when back in the early times that he was starting out, they were calling him the next Steven Spielberg, and everything went to his head. And now he's back, and ever since Split, he's been on a roll, in my opinion. Even though some people didn't like Old, I enjoyed Old for what it was. And for him to come out with Trap, you know, yeah. And for him to come out with Trap, yeah, I'm intrigued. And just like how my Chris is actually intrigued with it as well. It looks interesting. And yeah, it definitely looks interesting. And I like the concept of the fact that you have a suspense tale set mainly inside a pop concert taking place at a huge stadium. And you also have Josh Hartnett coming in with his messed up hair. And he was being played by, he plays the father who takes his daughter to see a singer named Lady Raven. They have floor seats, which is basically his daughter's dream come true to see one of her favorite artists so close. So I like that element of the fact that you're supposed to be celebrating this artist. You're supposed to just enjoy the concert and stuff like that. And then something goes awry to where now it's no longer about the concert. Now it's about survival. Now it's about, you know, trying to figure out how to get out of the situation. And I wonder if there's a plot twist within this, or is this going to be just a regular movie? Because in the movie with Dave Bautista, for example, there was no plot twist with that. That was just a knock at the cabin, and that was it. There was no plot twist with it.
It was just a knock, literally a knock.
On the cabin. But
that's true.
Yep. I've seen it. But what do you think of the concept?
Trap is a very interesting concept, simply for the fact that it's a horror movie that takes place within the confines of a pop concert, which that in itself can be a bit of a horror movie because there are hundreds of thousands of people watched against each other and dripping sweat, depending on the temperature. And to have a serial killer in the middle of this, I don't know, it seems awfully chaotic. Shyamalan has, like you said, been on an interesting few movies nowadays, so it shouldn't be a letdown. So I'm very interested to see how far this goes. It's very vague. Looking forward to what happens come August the 9th, I think that's when it comes out.
Let me see. Yeah, it's August 9th.
What's it there?
For me, I have Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. And here's the thing. I like the fact that you have George Romero coming back again to direct this movie. You know what I'm saying? I really like the fact that you have him coming in, directing it, writing it. It feels like a Mad Max movie. Even though it's about Furiosa, which if anybody doesn't know who Furiosa is or anything like that, she was actually in Mad Max Fury Road. And now this is her backstory before she met up with Max. The stunts look really good. And also the driving and things like that. I'm definitely intrigued with this. This is actually my must-see movie of May to kick off the summer. And I'm a huge Mad Max fan. And as someone that wanted to see more from Furiosa, I'm excited for it. I definitely am. I just hope that they don't use too much CGI, and I hope they do the perfect blend of using practical effects mixed in with the CGI, just like how they did with Mad Max Fury Road. So that is definitely my go-to, my excitement for that one. And I just wanted to say this too. Chris commented again about Trap. He said that he thinks that it'll be a twist. I hope that there is a twist with this one. I definitely intrigued. It looks like there might be more to the meat for that movie for it to have a twist. But yeah, Furiosa is definitely on my list, though.
Yeah. So again, that's another one to keep a lookout for. My Max knowledge in general is limited. That's why it's not on my list. So in third place, in spite of that, is the upcoming Bong Joon-ho titled Mickey 17. I know it was initially titled Mickey 7. Because the director was going to kill Robert Pattinson's character 7 times, but he had so much fun killing them, he decided to kill him 10 more times. So that's why I got the title to Mickey 17. That's probably why it was initially delayed, because it was supposed to come out 2 weeks ago.
Right.
It was pushed to January 2025. But the story revolves around this everyman who basically goes on a series of space missions, and every time he goes on these space missions and performs these difficult tasks, he ends up dying. So it's basically suicide. Mm-hmm. But every single time he dies, a new clone of him comes around, so the cycle just continues. So again, very vague. We only have like a small little snippet of a promotional clip when the movie was supposed to come out a couple of weeks ago, so not much else is known about it besides footage that was shown with CinemaCon, but it seems really interesting as a nice follow-up to Parasite, which is very totally different to compare to what this is. I'm really interested to see what the director does here, what Robert Pattinson does post-Batman.
Okay.
It'd be interesting.
I'm definitely intrigued with that, but I'm more excited for Beetlejuice, to be honest with you. Because this is a movie that has been in the talks for years. And I've kept on saying there's no way that they're going to make another Beetlejuice movie or anything like that. And I've been saying this for years. I said, I don't think it's ever going to happen. I'm just sorry, but it's not going to. Now, all of a sudden, the tantalization of the fact that it's going to happen now and it's actually coming to life, I'm excited. It makes me excited for another Beetlejuice movie. I'm excited to visit the world of Beetlejuice. It looks like from what you and I have seen from the trailers that they have it still set in that small town. And that makes me even more excited of the fact that they kept true to the original Beetlejuice movie. And the fact that they're going to pull on our nostalgia, they're going to pull on some new stuff that we haven't seen before. You also have Lydia Depp. It's dealing with death. It's dealing with comedy. It's dealing with all the emotional beats from the first one. And you're dealing with also to Lydia. Lydia's back into a home. Now, this is just me speculating. Lydia going into a town that didn't really accept her for who she is, and being looked down as different, being goth, being able to see ghosts probably. And now her daughter's now having to face the same thing while also too trying to face the death of her father. So, you know, I like how Tim is doing this. I think this is a smart move for having Michael Keaton back. It looks like that he didn't even miss a beat with this. He channeled his inner Beetlejuice in him. So yeah, I'm definitely pumped for it.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm very excited to see what they do with Beetlejuice. It seems to have that similar essence. And I'm ready to see Michael Keaton back doing this thing with Beetlejuice. It's been long overdue.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see. Next up in the studio slate, you want to cover Universal and Focus?
Yeah, we'll cover. Yeah, let's go with Universal. So I'm going to let you go on again because of the fact that I ended up ending on Warner Brothers.
Well, that's great. We're taking turns here. Let's see. My three selections will be the three selections for the Universal and Focus Features slot that I have for me is Wicked, which is the upcoming musical based on the It Broadway musical, which was a novel based on the Wizard of Oz, yada, yada. Which will be out in theaters on Thanksgiving Day weekend. It's got Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande playing the good, the bad witch, basically coming together, forming a good friendship and a rivalry in the Land of Oz. I'm cool with musicals. This seems like an interesting musical. I got to look more into the lore of it before I'm actually like, yeah, I really am what started to step into this. But I don't know, the cinematography and the musical sounds that I've heard from the trailer kind of ruled me in. So I'm intrigued to see that.
You see, I grew up with the original Wizard of Oz. I remember getting my mom to rent the movie for me, and I had that thing on repeat over and over and over again. This pulls on my nostalgia, because here's the thing. I never seen the musical of Wicked or anything like that, but I know what Wicked is. But I'm not a big musical guy. You already know that from whenever we did the reaction for Joker. But here's the thing, though. That makes me intrigued with it is the fact that you're dealing with going back into the Land of Oz again. It actually feels like you're in the Land of Oz again. It feels like you're visiting these characters all over again. And that's something that I was wondering about. Aside from it being a musical, are they going to have the same kind of vibe that the original Wizard of Oz is had back in the original? And it looks like that they're pulling on that nostalgia. And that's basically what studios are going for nowadays is nostalgia, trying to reel in old school people that grew up with Wizard of Oz and try to get them in there, but also to generate to a new audience as well and bring them in as well. And I think this is actually a perfect way to say, hey, look, I grew up with Wizard of Oz and let's see this movie. And then after that, I'll bring you into my childhood. And I think this is actually a perfect balance.
Absolutely. So yeah, looking forward to see what to do with Wicked.
Right. And Christopher said, I love the theater version of Wicked. I don't know how I feel about the movie. I understand because it's different when you watch it in theaters, right? Basically the theater version, right? Because of the fact that you're looking at vocal range, too, of everything, having to project your voice louder. The productions are probably a lot smaller in scale compared to a movie and stuff like that, even though, you know, they have a lot of people on board and things like that, too, to actually help it. But when you have a big production company like this and everything, they're going to spend over $250 million or more for CGI, cinematography, costume designers, and stuff like that. So, yeah. I'm intrigued with it. So, I actually have... not Nosferatu. What's that title? You know me and this stupid thing.
You started off so confident. It's Nosferatu.
Thank you, Nosferatu. Thank you. I am definitely excited for this because I'm a huge Dracula fan. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think this is actually intrigued. It's directed by Robert Eggers, and also 2 is going to be released on December 25th, not January this time, like The Voyage of the Dementor, which is a good horror movie if you're into like vampires and stuff like that. I definitely recommend you guys check that out and also check out mine, Rossi's review. But at CinemaCon, people got to see the very first trailer and a bold new reimagining of the classic horror tale. The trailer opens with Lily Rose Depp as Ellen Hutter saying, "Come to me, hear my call," right before a hand reaches out to grab her. She grabs on to say, "Evil comes from beyond," and tells William Dafoe, Professor Albin Eberhardt, Bonn, France, sporting a giant white beard, that he is coming to us while lying in a hospital bed plagued by some kind of sickness. So I like the fact that they're actually using the OG look to him, because I've seen concept art, I've seen stuff like that, and it looks just like the old black and white. This is something that I've been wanting for a long time. I love Dracula. I love the 90s version of Dracula and stuff like that. But this is the one that I've been wanting. And it looks like I'm going to be getting my dream come true. But what do you think?
Oh, yeah. I saw some of the pictures from various stills of the movie. And really, it looks interesting. The set looks lively. So I'm very intrigued to see what they do here. Like you said, our movies usually are very, very good or very, very middling. But I think Robert Eggers has got his fort now. Nosferatu, I think, deserves a good retelling after its original black and white 30s transfer part. And I think it's going to be quite an interesting selection and hopefully a memorable movie in terms of horror sets for this year. Who knows? Kind of. Yes.
Okay. So what do you have?
And then my third selection for the uni focused slate, Wolfman.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another something early adaptation. Probably it was supposed to come out this year in October. It got pushed to January. And again, I think you got more details on your slot, but the premise of Wolfman, it stars Christopher Abbott as the Wolfman. As a man seeks to protect himself and his family from a dangerous werewolf at night, moon, Julia Garner from Ozark plays the wife. It's pretty much hinted that, you know, Christopher Abbott is doing both characters.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think about it?
Here's the thing. I grew up with the old black and white Wolfman movies. I'm a huge classic movie, horror movie person. When it comes down to the classic horror monsters, I think this is actually the right direction to go with. I think this is actually going to be something that I can say the same thing about our last vampire movie that we just talked about. I'm a sucker for old black and white films, and especially if they're able to execute the remakes and everything correctly, it could go really good. I remember seeing the 2010 version of Wolfman, not being that pleased with it, but it looks like this is a stellar cast. I'm definitely excited for it. I'm definitely intrigued with this. This is something that I would want to go out and support and see, because I would like new takes. I like seeing what they can do with this. And like I said, I grew up with the old black and white classic monsters. So yeah, this is a big buy for me.
Yeah, Wolfman, stay tuned. That should be an interesting. And then I have honorable mentions and a dishonorable mention.
Well, I've got Speak No Evil.
Yeah.
As the one that I would like, that's for sure that I want to see. Come on, you got James McAvoy playing a crazy person again?
Yes, esteemed character actor Scoot McNairy playing Frightened Man number 500.
Come on, I mean, this is something that I've been wanting to see James McAvoy tackle again after Split. And this time he's going to do his kid doesn't speak at all. And I think this is also going to be another plot twist as well. So I like the suspense of it. I like the look of it. I like the fact that you have a kid who's mute and he can't speak or anything. And I think this is also why I like A Quiet Place, is because of the fact that you have a girl who is hearing impaired who can't hear anything. And that makes it even more horrifying. What's more horrifying than when you can see and hear, but you can't speak? Oh, I like the concept of this.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare to me. It can't speak, no evil. Oh, man. Let's see. The other honorable mention that you do not have on your list before I get to the dishonorable mention. Animated features for Universal seem to be thriving this year. Despicable Me is getting its fourth installment coming out in July. I've fallen off the wagon after the second.
I
Don't
fell off
know
the
what's going
one after the first one.
on. Back in 2010, you said, "I'm one and done. I'm done."
Right, exactly. I was like, why do we need a sequel to this? I laughed my ass off on the first one. I enjoyed it. I really need to see this again. And the answer to that was the studios were like, yes, you do. And I'm like, no, I don't.
So they did it
So,
three more times, and the
right.
Negans even got their own spin-off movie. So there you have it. Should be
He's
interesting.
watching.
Oh, the other thing I know is Will Ferrell is doing a new voice after letting the new Megamind installments kind of go to a dumpster fire in Peacock. And a dishonorable mention, Five Nights at Freddy's has a sequel confirmed for October 2025.
Yeah, you and I both reviewed that film. We enjoyed the first one.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes, and like I said, I enjoyed the Nicolas Cage version better than I did the Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, Five Nights at Willy's.
Yeah, Willy's Wonderland was a better film than that movie. But had Willy's Wonderland didn't come out, I believe that we would actually say that this was a better film than Willy's Wonderland. I believe that we would actually say that. But because of the fact that Willy's Wonderland came out before this and everything, I think that's why we're saying that's a better film. But I think that as far as the fun and the level and everything, Willy's Wonderland delivered more. Don't get me wrong, I like seeing Matthew Lillard. I like Matthew Lillard in the movie. But did it
Yes,
say,
yes.
do I need to see more? No, I did not need to see more. But let's see here. Chris says that with the Despicable Me, I just watched for the minions. And he also said he's a huge fan of it. He's a gamer. He knows the gaming lore and
About
stuff.
Five Nights at Freddy's, huge
Yeah.
fan of the game. Yeah, because it has
But
several game installments, but again, just like you with Despicable Me, I don't know much past the first one.
right. And I never played the games, unfortunately. That
I've seen
at that
gameplays of it, but I've never played it. So,
same here. I watched
I'll never
Markiplier
get
play
there.
it plenty of times.
There
So
you
yeah.
go.
But yeah. I don't have any honorable mentions or dishonorable mentions. So let's see here. So where do we want to go as?
However, Lionsgate will be the fourth studio.
Okay. I can I, let me go on ahead and do this one. So I actually have the Crow remake as not my most anticipated film and not my least favorite film, but it's something that is like a mystery element for me of like saying, you know what, I'll give it a shot, see what I think of it. And not try to compare the original to the remake, and let me try to let it stand on its own thing, because no one can touch the Brandon Lee one. Am I Brandon Lee knocked that role out of the park. I love that film. It's hands down my favorite movie of all time. And of course, at first, me, I didn't like the look of what they did with it or anything like that at first. But once I seen it in context and with the vibe that they were going on for and stuff, I liked it. I thought it fit the character and what they were trying to do, a new perspective of it for this generation. I understood that. This is more an eventual Crow than the Brandon Lee one, which is kind of like a Brandon Lee's version was more melancholy. It was a revenge story. It was a love story. This is more of a revenge shoot 'em up with a little bit of a political thing compared to the original Crow, because I think that the political agenda is we have someone that is trying maybe destroy their apartment building, so therefore they get a couple of goons out there to basically kill them, so the way they can go ahead and probably make a maybe make like a condo or a parking lot or something. But this is me speculating on how I think that's going to go down. But as far as me trying to separate the original from the remake, I think that I'm going to check this out. I like Bill Skarsgård, though I had nothing against Bill Skarsgård or anything like that. I liked him in It, Ch The It remake. I liked him in that.
In the role this year, though. He has three movies this year.
And I feel the same way, Chris. I really do. I'll give The Crow a shot, but I'm not expecting much out of it either, to be honest with you. And everybody's like, well, the reason why Lionsgate moved it over into August is because they didn't have faith in the film. No. They have another juggernaut.
Smith made a phone call.
Yep. He's like, I'm going to slap The Crow back to August. Just like how I slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars.
We're talking about August.
He was his wife. But anyways, but it's not the fact that they don't have faith in the movie. It's the fact that they know that Bad Boys is a $1 billion franchise. The Crow and everything is a cult classic. It didn't make much at the box office because of Brandon Lee's death. And then all the other stuff never, you know, basically plummeted to the ground. So them moving it to where it might actually stand off better without it having to face a $1 billion franchise, I think it's a smart move.
Okay.
From a studio's perspective. Then you also have the cancellation of the Saw movie being moved from 2024 to 2025. Which,
yes, and I mentioned the honorable mention.
Yeah. But yeah, I just want to mention it because that was my other anticipated movie for this year. So, wow.
And they took it away from you.
Yep, and they took it away. Just like they do the McRib every year.
It'll be back anyways, if it's not.
Yeah, it'll be back again. But anyways, tell me what you have.
Two out of the three selections in my standouts are action movies. The first one also got moved. It's just a game of Move City. First, it was going to come out on June the 7th. Then The Crow bumped it to next June. And now The Crow itself got bumped. The John Wick spinoff film, John Wick Presents Ballerina, where Keanu Reeves kind of takes a supporting role backseat. And Ana de Armas takes on this lead role of a part-time ballerina, part-time assassin who hunts down murderers in her family. It's also got Jello De Houston, Lance Reddick in one of his last film roles before his untimely passing, and Shannon Omeritis.
Okay. I'm actually excited for that. I'm a huge John Wick fan. To see them do a spinoff of this, and I'm normally hesitant with spinoffs. It goes with TV series and stuff like that. I don't like spinoffs of TV shows. I don't really like spinoffs of movies or anything like that. I just like my stuff the way it is. But with this, I feel like you can expand the universe. I think that this can actually exceed on its own without Keanu Reeves being involved. And come on, you have the ballerina. You have the mythology and the building blocks of how this organization came to be. And who's to say that this is not like a prequel or something like that either, for example? I'm just speculating again. But who's to say that this isn't a prequel of maybe John winds up, we actually get to see that confrontation between John and him like at the end of the film or something. So, you know, I'm definitely intrigued with it. I like the mythology of the John Wick movies, the Continental stuff, and things like that, even though I didn't care for the TV series. But yeah, this is something that I really have to say that I like what they're going with it. I definitely like the world building within the John Wick universe.
Yeah, man. Once I'm caught up with all the John Wick movies, I think I'll give Valerie a shot. She's a good actress. She's had an interesting streak of films. You're not going to talk about the Marilyn Monroe biopic, but she has some terrific films nonetheless. So I think she'll turn into a great lead role for him as well. Like you said, Keanu Reeves kind of sits in the background. He's credited as a big supporting cast, but it'd be funny if he only shows up in this
for 10 minutes. I'm okay if he's, because I feel like if you have Keanu show up, he'll only overshadow her. She needs to be able to stand on her own to show what she can do as an assassin. You don't need to have Keanu
on the screen like, hi, ballerina. I'm Jim.
Whoa. I'm Joe. Yeah, I'm back.
I'm an assassin.
I'm an assassin.
They get 5 stars.
I have a sledgehammer. No matter retirement.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's working.
Okay. Yeah. Whoa. Okay. So now this is a movie that you and I are anticipated for.
Yeah.
This is a movie that had, where I had a certain actor on my show that got nominated for an Oscar. Oscar nominated, nominee.
I wonder who. I met
that. And Mr. Coleman Domingo on the show.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Coleman Domingo.
And let me just say this. Last year, he had a busy season. He did really good. He's playing this thing out. And yes, I am talking like a sports agent here because this is basically
our...
Right. Because if you think about it, though, this is basically our Super Bowl. This is basically our draft. This is basically what we live for, is cinema.
That's right. That's
right. So when I seen that they were making a Michael Jackson biopic, Yes, but here's the thing. I love the NWA biopic, right? I like the first half of it. But then you get into the fact that they're cutting corners, where basically they're trying to change it up and not talk about the negatives, only the positives. I feel like they need to go in the realm of talking about the positives and going in the negatives. We have the family lifestyle that was also a negative. They need to go into that. They need to go into the music career of the Jackson 5 and talk about the success of the Jackson 5 and how Michael stood out. Those are the positives. Then, thrill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They need to talk about that. They need to hit certain beats, and they also need to have the actor not lip sync, but also sing and move like Michael, which is a hard thing to do. But well, I know you say,
that is his nephew, and I think he does sing, so that shouldn't be a problem. But you know how studio folks.
Right.
Well, you should probably lip sync. It's a little bit easier. Let him sing.
Right. Mark Wahlberg in the Rockstar movie. But, and also, too, I like the picture that we've seen when we first seen it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm going to give you your, I want to hear your thoughts, though.
Love Michael Jackson's music. I'm not a big fan. But I'm very intrigued to see what they do here. There's a lot to uncover about his life. And there's been plenty of other past instances that did not do a good job because they focused on certain controversial aspects over something like, say, the music or the legacy, for instance. I have faith in it, not just for the fact that, you know, Antoine Fuqua is the man behind the camera in this. But they did have someone who does resemble Michael, as well as his brothers during the Jackson 5 era. I think they are capable of, you know, capturing some of the magic that the originals did. And I don't know, man. I'm intrigued to see what they do here. I hope they do it right. I still got Queen PTSD. Let's not mess this up.
But, you know, we talked about Queen, though, and I like the performance of what Remy did. I really think the performance, I think he did really good. Chris says he's looking forward to the Michael Jackson biopic. The Crow is a good, I agree, coming out closer to the fall is a good move. Then he's just quoting me, I think I'm thinking of that. I'm excited for that. So next on the docket.
Yeah. Spring. Finally, on the docket here is a new Guy Ritchie movie. I know people are thinking, wait, I thought he has a movie coming out in theaters next Friday, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, by Henry Cavill. Well, no, this is an entirely different new movie that he apparently shot last year titled In the Gray, and it actually comes out less than a year after Warfare, January 17th, 2025, to be exact. This movie is set to star Henry Cavill alongside Jake Gyllenhaal, Isaac Gonzalez, and Rosamund Pike. And the plot and premise of this follows a group of misfits operating in the middle of criminality and law who come together for a shared mission of fame and revenge. So, you know, sounds like Crime and the Style of Guy Ritchie. Seems intriguing enough. Warfare is not out yet. I don't know how the Henry Cavill and Guy Ritchie style comes together yet. So it's a bit of an early gamble to say, oh, yeah, this is going to be successful. But I think there's a shot.
I think there is, too. I like Guy Ritchie movies. I think he's a fantastic director. You have Henry Cavill coming in here. I love Henry Cavill. He always finds a way to dominate the screen. He always glues into the character. He understands the character work and with everything he does. He has the physicality of what needs to be done. I love the plot that they're doing with this Guy Ritchie movie. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to be the one to buy a ticket to see this movie.
Indeed. Stay tuned for that's interesting kind of stuff. It seems like something that would be a horror movie. Maybe they'll change it before. Who knows? In the honorable mentions tab for Lionsgate Slate, there is a remake of the Blair Witch Project in the works. Watch from that.
Be honest with you, man. Okay, the reason why the Blair Witch is as special as it is because it was something new. It was something fresh. It was something that hasn't been done before, which is found footage. This is where the found footage genre came to be. In order for this movie to be a success, it has to understand why it was a success in the first place. It has to understand that you can't do the same beats that you did with the Blair Witch from the 1999 version. You have to do something different. And I remember when the 2015, they came out with a sequel, and at that time, it was only going to be called The Woods. Nobody knew it was another sequel to Blair Witch. Then at Comic-Con, everybody ended up taking off their jackets to reveal that is a new Blair Witch movie. And I went to see the new Blair Witch movie and everything. I'm not a fan of found footage movies. I don't like found footage movies. But can I say this, though? The mixing and stuff like that, when you see it on screen, is terrifying. I do have to say the mixing and the sound quality is really good. But they have to understand, Blumhouse needs to understand what they... I seen what they did with Michael Myers. I did not like it. I have a hate love relationship. I'll be real with you. I have a hate love relationship with Blumhouse. I love their concepts. I love their originality from looking on paper. But when you look from paper to screen, it's two different things, and the outcome is a pile of crap most of the time. But I like the fact that they go for something different. But I know that this is something that intrigues you, though, which I'm happy it does. But tell me what is gravitating you towards the Blair Witch, though.
Again, this is one of many movies as a youngster trying to get into my bag that came out before I was born. So I'm intrigued to see how they could remake this again. I don't know. Blair Witch Project initially was very revolutionary for its time, but footage theme and everything. I don't know how it would translate in the world of social media nowadays, with that technology has advanced greatly since then. Hopefully they can pull it off, but I don't know. The name just stuck out to me because I was like, really, they're doing a remake of that? All right, let's give it a shot, I guess.
Because it wasn't too long ago. I mean, yeah, 2015 was a couple of years back, and I did a review on the channel before I did the podcast. But that's been a couple of years, and you know they had three movies. They had the Blair Witch. Then the second one wasn't a found footage movie, and the third one they decided to do a found footage movie, continuing off of where the one in 1999 was, looking for the main character's brother. So that's where that one took place. But yeah, I'm not that excited for it. I would have to see a trailer before I say yes on. And I want to see if they do anything different and they understand the material and understand the audience and understand why it was different in the 90s. Chris says, oh God, remake of Blair Witch. No, the original is going to be. You know what? I definitely have to agree, man. Like, I was never a fan of the original Blair Witch, but I understood why it was the way it was. So I can, I like the originality behind it.
All right. And otherwise, in the mentions tab, this one is just more so a mention, just to give you a reminder of what Lionsgate took you away. Instead of you getting your jigsaw puzzles and horror and good saw magic, instead, September 27th, moviegoers will be seeing Halle Berry once again save her kids and Never Let Go. I don't know the plot or premise other than she's saving her kids from something again.
And she's not going to let go.
Berry. She's not going to let go. That was more so mentioned. That comes out in September. Maybe we'll cover it again. Who knows? And last, an honorable mention for Lionsgate, there's going to be a live-action Monopoly movie that's been produced by Marco Robbie. I contemplated talking about this, but then once I saw a tweet talking about Paul Giamatti, there's going to be a potential chance you play the Monopoly, man. I said, oh, yeah, Academy Award.
This is the part where I need your character to come back and try to pitch me this.
Yeah. Oh well, Jeff, as you know, he ran away. He got no.
Well, does he have his cousin Jeeves in the house?
Well, let me see. Is Jeeves
no?
Jeeves?
No. Okay.
This Friday.
Okay, so I'm not going to say this is a horrible idea because I thought a Barbie movie would be a horrible idea. And Robert, and here's the thing: Margot ended up knocking it out of the park with the studios and giving her her pitch. And it made $1 billion. So I'm not going to say that this movie is a bad idea or anything. Because, come on, who would have guessed that a Barbie movie would actually be that successful and everything, too? Even though I'm not the general audience for it. But I can say...
I wouldn't have expected it either.
Right. But Paul Giamatti, okay. I'm intrigued a little bit. I like
this
Paul.
Is a Twitter
I
really theory. Do. Again, this is a
he's playing the Monopoly guy.
Right. They said, Paul Giamatti, we have a job for you. I meant to clarify, that's not what the trailer's saying. There's no casting yet. It's just Twitter talking. And of course, my good British extraordinaire, Curtis Dalton, also suggested Kenneth Branagh for the Monopoly man. So I don't
know. Can we also have Ace Ventura in there where he winds up saying, and you must be the Monopoly guy?
Perhaps. And Jim Carrey is down to do that. You know how he is about sequels. That is his name, Sonic.
Chris, what's next? Yahtzee.
Now what I call dibs on Uno.
Hey, damn it. They skipped my turn again. Let's have Kevin Hart and The Rock be in Uno.
No, we don't want them. Kevin Hart. I dropped 20. I dropped 5 cards. You drop 5. You drop 4. You know what? That's fine.
You know what, though, Chris? They were going to remake Clue. And
yeah, Ryan Reynolds
was behind it. He was also going to be producing it and starring in it. And then also, I believe they also were going to get, what's his name from Ozark in it, though, too?
Jason Bateman?
Yep, they were going to get Jason Bateman in it. Because at that time, Ozark was a big thing, so what better way to boost his career even more is to have him in it, Jason Bateman in it. But after that, I haven't heard anything else. So I don't know if it's in production hell. I don't know what's going on with it. But
and I wonder if they're going to get any of the original cast back. That's probably also the issue. You know, Tim Curry, I would like to see him in a cameo. I don't know if this happened. I feel like Kristen from Lloyd is probably the last piece of the bit.
You can be the butler or something. But yeah.
Right. Right. I don't know.
But you know what, though? I would like to see Yahtzee mixed in with Twister.
Ooh.
Make it more dangerous.
Yes.
And let's also put in, you know what else, though, too? Besides that, let's put Jenga in there.
You know what, for shits and giggles, let's just put trouble. Put trouble in it.
And more. Maybe I should reach out as a cinematographer. Yes, I think, you know what, Chris? I think it would be great as a cinematographer. I've seen some of your work and stuff like that. Yes, I think you should. Okay. So,
but that leak.
That would be even better. Michael Bay directing this.
Right. That's such a good transition. You're such a genius, John, because Paramount. Paramount has the biggest slate, I think, this year.
Yes.
Probably because they have the most honorable mentions of mentioning this. So let's get into it. Did you want to start with one of the challenges?
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. I love TMNT. I like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But to know that they're going to do a live-action rated R adaptation of it, I'm all in, buddy. I'm all in. Because of the fact that in the black and white comic books, they were gritty, they were gruesome, they were something that you don't mess with. There was none of that cowabunga, eating cheese pizza, and all that stuff. Even though I loved it, I grew up in the 80s, I loved the cartoon, but once I discovered the comics, I fell in love with that. I loved that. That was something that I was like, this needs to be told. This is something that I want in black and white. If they can't do it in black and white and or anything, even though I think it's cheaper to make a film in black and white than it is in color, you know, just use lightning. Use something to emulate that kind of setting. And I'm sold. And have that dark grittiness to it.
Whoa.
What about you, for you?
Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles getting live action done. Oh, that if you have Michael Bay under mine, I think about those movies that came out the last decade. I was just
twisting camera angles.
Kind of cocaine or methamphetamines that he was on, but let's not do that again. But the R-rated factoid of it really, really intrigues me. And the fact that it's a more in-depth look of something that's comic based, it looks badass from the pictures that I've seen. So I have a lot of faith in it. I think it should be very interesting. We're on a good streak. The last Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that came out a couple months ago was really good. So let's keep it going. I need to see more.
Right on the Bay Hammer.
Yes, we don't want to talk about it. It's funny because we've got another Bay thing to talk about. We're gonna save that for last in the standout. Did you want to cover the big Ridley Scott event movie that's coming back?
Yes. Are you not entertained, pick a flick? Are you not entertained?
I wanna be.
That is my question. Huh?
I wanna be entertained.
I am excited for a Gladiator 2. Yeah. Like, I didn't think I wanted this in my life. Do I need this in my life? Then again, do we need any movie in our life? But this, I'm like, he's going back to the drawing board to what he knows and what works for him. And to have Denzel play a role in this?
Paul Mescal, Denzel, Pedro Pascal, the guy from Stranger Things, Joseph Quinn. Going on. It's a stat.
Exactly. I mean, this is everything I didn't know I needed in my life.
Yeah, so I'm ready. I'm ready. I'd be tempted to go into the theater as a person.
But I just want to let everybody know, and CinemaCon, they did show some footage, but it was like an early look to Gladiator 2, which featured unfinished footage since the film is still months away from release. The 5-minute reel started with footage from the Gladiator, as we see the iconic shot of Russell Crowe's Maximus grazing his hand against a wheat field. We're introduced to Paul Mescal's character, who recalls the impact that Maximus had in the Colosseum, that a slave could get justice in the arena. We see a hand grab a sword mounted on a wall labeled Maximus. Gladiator 2 takes place 24 years after the original. So, yeah. I'm excited for it, and I don't think that they have Pedro Pascal in there just for the sake of having him in there because of the fact that he was a busy man with The Last of Us and also, too, The Mandalorian.
He and Coleman Domingo are taking turns with being the most booked and busy. You know, of course, like you mentioned, The Last of Us, he's got The Mandalorian. He's doing a movie with Ari Aster now called Edgerton that'll be out next year with Emma Stone. What else does he have in his docket? Fantastic Four? Pedro Pascal is going to be booked and busy. So, there's something in that description that stood out to me. Something about Paul Mescal fighting rhinos or something?
Right. It's something like that. Why don't you give more context into it?
Well, you act like I've seen the actual clip. Let's see. Well, gosh,
I'm sorry. I got mixed up with your character. I'm sorry. He was the one who ended up telling me that. I am so sorry.
Jeff. What's going
on? Jeff. I know.
Wonder here.
I know.
But yeah, there's something around a sequence. There's a rhino fight going on there. Wish we'll have to work toward right now. Do you have it on you?
No, I don't. I don't have that part.
On you. That's terrible. This is terrible. Oh, man. But there's also something about a face-off between Mescal and Pascal that was briefly shown, so I think there's going to be a lot of back and forth with that movie. And Denzel playing this bit of a guardian angel. So, man, I'm really excited to see.
What better way to have a guardian angel than having the face of Denzel Washington and that damn smile of his?
That depends on what Denzel you want, because I don't want Equalizer Training Day Denzel.
Yeah, I'm King Kong, mother.
Well, he proceeds to beat the living crap out of you for 2 minutes.
Right. But,
money. I'm going to get my gun. Number two.
Denzel. I move
you. You tried to kill my wife. Huh?
Okay, so what do you have next for your...
Last but not least, we're going to give Michael Bay one last little whack. He's just a producer on this, so not too big of a whack, but he started it because he directed all these. Transformers 1 is getting an all 3D animated retelling. It'll be out in theaters September 13th. A little bit of competition because another movie about robots that has a robot as a robot, the first DreamWorks, also comes out that same week. But I believe this is the first all animated Transformers since the 80s one to come out later. So this is interesting, but it's described as an origin story set in the planet Cybertron. This is such as a mystical thing, but it follows on the earlier set of relationship between brothers Optimus Prime and Megatron. You know, of course, with Hollywood being Hollywood, they got two of some of the finest working actors to do those voices. Chris Hemsworth, or Thor, voices Optimus, while Brian Tyree Henry from Atlanta and Bullet Train voices Megatron. And has got some other interesting names attached to it, including Scarlett Johansson, Lawrence Fishburne, Steve Buscemi, Keegan-Michael Key, and John Hamm.
Mm. Now, that is something I'm very... I love that. I love the idea of going into an animated world with it. And also, too, you have Chris Hemsworth. You have... I like him. I like him. I really like him as an actor and everything.
Like,
I love him, John Hamm. I like him as an actor. I like him as an actor. I liked him in Baby Driver. Every single time I see him and everything, he always dominates. He's fantastic. But I think this is actually a perfect way to go. Go to the roots of the old classics. And and make us fall in love with Transformers again. Make us fall in love with it again.
That's right. That's true. I don't know if all the love has been there in these past couple of movies, but it's got its supporters, but it really needs that bread and butter to kind of get more, you know,
audience because, back again. Right, because it lost that loving feeling for me a little bit for a while.
Quite a bit for me as well. Michael Bay, just play Michael Bay.
Spinning camera angles. Explosions. 2.5 hours of a Super Bowl commercial that everything is a Transformer.
Or a explosions, explosions, explosion.
Explosions.
Tyree.
Tyler LeBlanc. Kissing.
Megan Fox. The beautiful Megan Fox.
He's just there.
Tyrese. Screaming. Anthony Anderson also was there.
There.
John Wood also was there. John Malkovich Johnson. Also.
John Cena. Nobody can see him. But anyway, but yeah, I'm definitely excited for that. But I'll tell you what else I'm intrigued with is the Running Man remake.
Mm.
And I love Arnold. I love what he did back in those days. I think that having Edgar Wright to do this, I love Edgar Wright. I mentioned that before. I like Baby Driver. I think you need a director like Edgar Wright to do something totally ridiculous, totally ballsy, something different to set us into a modern type of world. To get people who hadn't seen the original one with Arnold and to actually get a new generation to be on board with it. I think this is a perfect way to do it. And like I said, you have Glenn Powell who's playing this, you have Edgar Wright. So, yeah. I'm definitely intrigued with it.
And do you know the three actors Glenn Powell beat out for this role?
Tell me.
Ryan Gosling.
You know what?
Ryan.
I was, you know what, though? I remember seeing an article for that, and I'm like, and I thought, Ryan Gosling is going to be in two projects, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, Glenn Powell beat him. Okay.
Chris Evans. And Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, the Chris's.
Yes. No Chris Pine, though. I guess they saw a pool man and said no.
But that's interesting, though. Those would actually be perfect for the running man. You know?
Yeah,
I think... Although, I wouldn't mind seeing Henry Cavill in there, though, too.
Yeah, but he was probably too busy.
Yeah, true. You know who else runs? Tom Cruise. He runs in everything, so he would have been...
Yes, he literally would have been running. Like, oh, no, I'm taking right. this serious. I'm running.
Right. Let's see. Chris was making a comment about Gladiator for a minute. He goes, just need some Morgan Freeman in it.
Oh, yeah, Morgan Freeman would have been fire. Or James Earl Jones.
Let's see. So now we have, okay, A Quiet Place. I mentioned this before. Yes. I love the first two Quiet Place movies. Now this is a prequel to the setup of all the events that happened. And there's that danger element of trying, like I said, in the first two films, you have a person who's hearing impaired, who can, and also too, you have Emily Blunt, who's playing a pregnant woman on the first one, and she's also gave birth to the baby in the movie, as well. And then she's also trying to survive, and then also too, it continues off of this first one into the second one, and you're being fearful. And I'm wondering if the baby's going to cry. What's going to happen? This girl can't hear anything. Her daughter. I like the danger element of it, of not being able to say anything and afraid to make too much noise. And I remember going to theaters where even the audiences were even scared to even say anything or do anything. So, yeah. To go into this world again as a prequel, sign me up. I mean it. Take my money. I'll be there opening day. My wife won't, but I will. I will be. Yes. Just like whenever I sing Godzilla versus Kong or Godzilla X Kong. I'm just going to say a little story real quick. These other guys were in the theater. And he goes, I see that your wife didn't come either. So, yeah. Those would be one that would be going solo.
All right. Well, A Quiet Place will be looking out for you.
Yes, they will.
Peter Nyong'o, this is her first role, leading role in the minute. So I hope she does really good. We have several honorable mentions coming out from Paramount. Okay. So just getting these things out of the way. Nickelodeon has some slate of projects on them. Avatar, the airbender, not the blue people, is getting a trilogy of films. The first one is titled Aang, the Last Airbender. The most interesting piece of news from this particular project is that Dave Bautista will be playing a villain. Don't know which one.
But, I like Dave.
You know, he's becoming one of my favorite wrestlers and actors. I wish I could say the same for others.
The Rock. Longer
than name than names. Of course you would. Of course.
But... But you know what, though, man? Bautista's fun to watch on screen. Like, at first, like, when he was playing Drax, they made scripts and stuff like that just for him because he goes, look, man, I'm not the best actor. They make scripts based on what I can do and my capabilities of what I can do. When I seen him in Glass Onion, when I seen him in these other movies, he's grown. He's grown as an actor. He's doing a fantastic job. You know? But yeah, I definitely have to say this about this though too. They better not mess up the Airbender. Love the anime.
Yeah, man, the anime was classic. I gotta go back and re-binge it. I still haven't touched a Netflix show because of that.
It's okay.
It has to do because it's a very popular franchise. So they don't mess it up. And speaking of other Nickelodeon related franchises, SpongeBob returns to theaters next year. In the search for SquarePants, where he takes on the Flying Dutchman. Oh, I hope they do something interesting here. I hope they do something interesting here. The third movie, I wasn't vibing with it. I wasn't.
I can't wait to see this.
Again, this will be a solo ordeal.
Right.
His first time coming back to theaters and the first time in a decade. His third movie was supposed to come out, but coronavirus led to it only coming out in Canadian cinemas. Straight to Paramount Plus. Again, it's got one of the writers from the earlier seasons of SpongeBob, but that does not mean that it's going to capture some of his original essence because you got newer writers from newer seasons. So, I don't know. I'm mixed on it. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's not, but, you know, I'm a SpongeBob fanatic. Please don't mess this up.
We'll see. So Chris says, I'm not watching SpongeBob unless my kid wants to. I don't blame you. I'm not wasting my brain cells for a SpongeBob movie.
Don't, especially for the last one. Just the first one. The first one is, you can't replicate it. You can't replicate it. That is this news that has come out before, but it came up again. There is going to be a biopic about the members of the Bee Gees. That's going to be directed by Ridley Scott. Wonder who you would cast. We're shaking your head.
Ridley, I love you, dude, but hand it to someone that actually knows about the Bee Gees. Or
like his neighbor, maybe. P. Diddy.
Oh, too soon. Too soon.
Okay.
But okay. You know who would have been perfect to do this? The director that made Malcolm X with Denzel.
Spike Lee?
Yeah, I think Spike Lee would have actually been good for a biopic for the Bee Gees.
What Richard looks about Spider. Like the director of Malcolm X, I thought you were going to pull a steer one. Spike Lee?
Yeah, I'm pulling from Spike Lee.
Well, he's currently working on a remake of High and Low, a South Korean movie. And if people remember his track record with Old Boy, people are not very happy with it. I myself am not. Yes, Denzel and Spike Lee are coming together once again, but hell, Ice Spice just got casted in that. So I don't know how that works.
I got
that's not the sheer number there. Bee Gees biopic should be interesting, though. I don't know what they can do with that, but, you know, we'll see. Okay. Speaking of Transformers, once again, there's apparently going to be a crossover film between Transformers characters and G.I. Joe. I don't know what's going on with that.
I remember when they were going to do that mixed in with 21 Jump Street. I don't know why. That was when I don't get it. I don't see that mixing. You don't mix G.I. Joe with Transformers. This is like me taking my action figures of G.I. Joes, my action figures of Transformers, and like, let's do a shared universe with it. And I'm just my imagination. You just don't do that with the movie. They're reaching to the 90s and the cartoons. They didn't do well. Yeah, I don't see them doing well with live action either. They're reaching to the 90s cartoons crossovers. They didn't do well.
Yes, in the year of 2024. Crossovers, really? I don't know what I can do with that. And then two more notes here for the honorable mentions tab, because Paramount just has so much going on. South Park creators are going to be collaborating in a musical film project with rapper...
Mr. Wanda, talk about my movie, please.
It's the creators. It's not going to be South Park characters. Matter of fact, no. Let me pull up the description here because I actually forgot what the plot of it was. It's going to be animated. Then I remembered. That's why I put it in my honorable mentions.
It's happening.
Jesus. The film follows a young black man attending as a slave reenactor at a living history museum who discovers that his white girlfriend's ancestors once owned his.
That's it. I'm out.
I said, why did I put it in my honorable mentions list, knowing that this was going to be about Chaser? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. It just doesn't bode well. It just does not bode well. But it comes out in July 2025, Independence Day, which...
That's a better way to celebrate independence.
Slaves!
I want to be in that pitch meeting in front of, to do this release date.
Yeah, just drop it on the Kansas State weekend. It's going to be fine. And it comes out right on the day, July 4th, 2025. The worst is we're going to be there.
I'm not going to be there for it. Unfortunately.
Oh, my goodness. And last but not least, Damien Chazelle. You know, the beloved director behind Babylon and La La Land, a movie that had the Best Picture win for approximately 5 minutes, has finally been let out of director's jail after Babylon turned in some not-so-strong box office returns.
And that orgy scene at the very beginning is why.
Yeah, I watched it. I was like, oh. And then I forgot everything else about the movie after quite a long time.
What's bad is, okay, I was like, well, this is going to be nominated. It got a lot of buzz. I'm like, my 11-year-old son, he was 10 at the time. He was playing in the living room. I'm like, let's watch Babylon. All of a sudden, I'm like, we can't watch Babylon.
And that's worse than saying, hey, let's watch Saltburn.
Or Private Parks with Howard Stern in it. So, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, please.
But anyways, continue. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to go on a...
But yeah, Damien Chazelle has finally been let out of director's jail, a term that has been kind of twisted and turned. Now it's directors that have box office failures, or beforehand it was directors not getting proper Hollywood financiers. You see Francis Ford Coppola struggling with Megalopolis.
And his daughter's acting.
$150 million return. And now Damien Chazelle comes back to direct the movie that takes place in prison. We don't know what takes place out here. I don't know. His name is Chazelle. Takes place in the prison. Could be a drama. I don't know if it could be a musical. But if it is a drama musical that takes place in prison, I'm gonna pick out a safe name because I could have had plenty of jokes about who I could have suggested, but I'm not going to do that. One person passed away. I'm not going to do it. But there's one particular
Juice
name.
Is loose. I like Juice it with some night.
Left it out in the sun for too long. But there's one name that I want to mention now that would kill it. And do you know who that name could be?
Who?
You had him on a show. On your show recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, an Oscar-nominated actor. He's
Oscar-nominated.
Such as Rustin, The Color Purple, and Candyman. Don't say his name multiple times. Carmen Domingo, who's doing a prison drama this year called Sing Sing. You see how I spin around? I was the worst.
Yes, and I see that. I see that. Very good. Very good on the wordplay.
He goes two for, you know, prison dramas, and this time it's Damien Chazelle. You know, he could go back-to-back 3 years in a row with Oscar buzzworthy performances. So, you know what? I'm down if he's down. You know, let's get Carmen Domingo to do more stuff. But all seriousness, I'm interested to see what Damien Chazelle does.
Me too.
He's a terrific director, and Babylon was quite a trip experience.
It was an experience, all right.
Yes, I was not expecting that opener. I heard it was wild, but I wasn't expecting
Sing Sing.
Yes, Sing Sing. That's the movie.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Okay. So, last but not least, we're just going to talk about Disney for 1 second, and then we're going to end the show.
I was about to say, I hope you didn't forget about any Mousesafe Studios.
Right. I think we talked about, oh, boy. But, yeah.
Gorsh.
Hold on. Thinking the producer's Christmas of love. That's great, man. But, okay. I get the fact that we have D23 coming up, and it's going to be in New Orleans this time, and I might try and go if I can get tickets, or if people are willingly be able to donate me something to be able to go. But that being said, if you have only a couple of things to talk about, why even show up? Sony didn't even show up.
Right, they just brought anime section, Crunchyroll.
It's like, hey, look, we screwed up on Madam Web. We're backing out. We know better.
You know, the animators for Spider-Man are going through hell right now. We don't have a proper release date for that one. So let's just bring the anime section. Crunchyroll, come on.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, Rokam.
Yeah.
Is this. If the only thing that you have is Thunderbolts, and don't get me wrong, I'm excited for Thunderbolts. I'm excited for the new Anthony Mackie Captain America. I'm also excited about Deadpool. Everybody knows about those movies. Here's the thing. If that's all you got, and you don't have other slates, I was like, hey, look, we're sorry that we messed up last year with our slate of movies that we had planned. This is what we have planned now. And have some kind of things in motion, because you already had Deadpool shot and in the bucket.
Right.
So tell us what else you have planned going in if Deadpool is a success, which it will be. Based
Hold on,
what
I think,
I've been seeing.
I think I got something from Jeff. What did you say, Jeff? Oh, Captain America. Yeah, Captain America. Yeah. Yeah, wait, Anthony Mackie,
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
We got some pictures. Got the pictures.
Yeah. Great. I got pictures too. Yeah. Great.
Inside Out too. You know, that's
But here's the thing. The only thing they talked about was a popcorn bucket for Deadpool.
And I'm sure
popcorn buckets.
People have been defiling those Dune popcorn buckets. We're not gonna get into that.
Right, we're not gonna get into that. That's a P. Diddy situation.
take that. No bad.
But okay, so all I have is popcorn buckets, and hey, Western, you know what we're gonna have with our popcorn? Soda, but not just any soda. Not any. It's gonna be Marvel soda with our logos on it.
Oh my god, this is groundbreaking. Marvel soda.
Hold on, Marvel, it's better. Spider-Man's gonna be on the logo.
Oh my god.
It's gonna be, you know what? We're gonna call it Marvelous Coke.
You know what would be brilliant? Which would top it off? If Uncle Ben's grave was on one of the background designs, that would be brilliant.
That's our special edition one.
And I bet the price tag is priceless.
But come on, man. Like, if that's all you have, don't even come.
Yeah.
Disney trying to recover, and they have nothing. No, they don't. They don't have anything
and
in the hand.
They got the shit into the stick because they were the last studio to present. So Paramount was like, Oh, really? All right, watch this.
Hey, Kevin, yeah. Look, guys, I don't know why I'm here. Kevin, look, talk about the soda. They will love it. Guys, guess what? We have labels on our soda.
Those Coca-Colas.
Kevin, wait. Tell them there's more.
There's Captain America. Anthony Mackie, tell me about the time that, you know, Tom Holland said there's no Falcon movies at that press conference. You know, people want to see Clarence, you know, who battled Eminem back at 8 Mile, finally get his own leading performance. His real name's Clarence. You know, we need...
And him and his parents have a real nice marriage. And he also went to private school.
Yes, we can't forget that. He had... he went to private school. How could I forget?
Right, exactly. Hey, Kevin, what? Tell them about the buckets. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the buckets, you can use the buckets to, you know, stick your hand in. You get some popcorns out there. It's going to be great. It's going to be shaped like Deadpool's mask. It's going to be sensational.
And his mouth is going to be open to where you can insert the straw.
That's right. The Wolverine one, he sings. Because, you know, Hugh Jackman, he does. He's gonna sing. I think it's brilliant.
It's cinema.
Yes,
that's what it is.
It's cinema.
Okay, so Chris says Disney's more focused on parks. Yep, they are, because they're trying to relocate their parks and everything to Disney World in expansion right now. Yeah, but that's also the lazy riding. But that being said, I think that's everything that, you know, that you and I had wanted to cover, besides popcorn buckets, Coke logos.
Yeah, you were nice to Disney, because I was really going to skip them.
And if I'm invited to D23 Disney, I already know where I'm going to be sitting at.
we talked about Uncle Ben and Millie doing nasty things with the popcorn buckets and P. Diddy, take that, and clear.
Typical Hollywood.
I'm not getting into that.
But sorry. I'm joking.
It's just a joke. My goodness.
You'll see here. Yeah, they really approved the expansion of Disneyland. Yep. But yeah, that's everything I had wanted to cover. That's everything you wanted to cover too, right? What?
Yep. That's about all the studios for this year.
Okay. So with that being said, grab your Deadpool popcorn bucket, grab your Marvel soda, and join
us.
Do not do anything nasty to that bucket. Yeah. I'm watching you. Don't do it.
Only fans bottles? Nah.
But with that being said, grab your buckets, grab your Deadpool buckets, grab your Wolverine cups, and join us this Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, as we review The Breakfast Club. I had Beth from the Made for Movie TV podcast with me. I also have Zoe from the Backlook Cinema podcast. And I've also got my co-host Rossi. We're going to be doing that Monday night, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We are going to be doing the Nickelodeon review, Quiet on the Set. So we are going to be reviewing that documentary series. Thank you so much, Chris, for supporting our channel. Thank you as well for commenting. I do appreciate that. I hope that everyone enjoyed this. And by the way, guys, I am sorry that I screwed up on the title on Instagram, where I actually said CinemaCon 2014. So I went back and retitled it.
No, man. It gets better. You didn't say 2014. You said 2004. I was an infant.
Well, you know what, man? Anything is better than popcorn buckets and 2004.
Yes, they were. God forbid they were doing anything to those popcorn buckets back in 2004.
Right, exactly. So anyways, guys, thank you for joining me. Thank you for everyone that joined the live stream and commenting and stuff like that in the comments as well on Instagram. Thank you, Doom Generation Pod. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll catch you guys on the next one. And pick a flick and put down the book and pick up the remote.
You got it.
Exactly. So guys, that's going to be it. Have a good night and bye-bye.